Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Injustice Radar podcast with your disappointed host, Michael Terabay.
In an earlier episode, I talked about a high school I went to during the 80s. So on this episode, I'll go back even further to tell some stories that happened during the 70s. Yeah, my childhood here. No computers or cell phones or even social media, obviously. It was a completely different world to the one I live in now. But my question is, has our human behavior changed? I wanted to tell these stories from my youth mainly because I don't want to forget them. They're the situations that shape your life and teach you lessons of right and wrong and of surviving in an indifferent world. Problem solving. I grew up in Newport News, Virginia, that's two words, Newport and News, in a cul-de-sac at the end of a neighborhood, in an undeveloped neighborhood at the end, surrounded by woods, real woods. The kind that, if you were deep in them and it started to get, I don't know, dark, late at night, you might have trouble getting out of there without being able to see the sky. There is an old, rusted out, trashed car in the woods. No one knew how it got there. No doors, hood, nothing. It was straddling some really shallow stream. So we took a tire, we rolled it to a friend's house, to his backyard that sloped down. Most of the backyard was overgrown and not much use for anything. It was really steep. But we wanted a tire swing. So, did we ask any grown-ups for help? Or get a book from the library? No. No internet or YouTube, of course. We used our minds and we figured it out ourselves. We got some rope, probably from one of the kids' fathers that had a garage with a whole bunch of stuff in there. And so we looked at all the trees on that hill and the limbs to make the tire swing. But how would we get the rope up there? One of the older kids had an idea, and he went and got his younger brother's Tonka truck. I don't know if you're familiar. It's those really heavy metal trucks that they used to make. They're really fun. I may have had one or two. I'm not sure. I can't remember that far back. But we tied a rope around it, and after swinging it around several attempts, we finally got it around one of the limbs. When the truck came back down, we tied the knot and we had the free end of the rope to help with the swinging. We could pull the rope back up the hill and the tire would go towards us. So eventually, because of the severe slope of this hill, if it was your turn and the tire, well, you were way off the ground when we all let it go. It was amazing. Swinging out way over the hill, trying not to look down at how high up you were when it swung out over and then back to safety on the back swing. You could get a good five or six swings out and back until it ended. A new kid moved to town. They built his house in the lot next to mine that we all used to play in. Everyone liked him, but you know, he was still the new kid that took our favorite play area. When it was his turn to swing, one of the other kids pulled the rope back, so the new kid was in the tire up in the air now. But instead of letting it go, he went and wrapped it around a nearby tree and held it there so the new kid was trapped in the air. He started yelling for us to let go and he tried to get out of the tire. And at that point, the tire broke free of the rope and he fell to the ground in the tire and bounced a few times while we all laughed until he started screaming. We all stood there not knowing what to do. So we do like they do in the movies. We ran to his parents' house and said, "Your son fell." We knew it was our fault and it was wrong what we did. But we still tried to say he tried to get out of the tire and that's why it broke. I know. He hyperextended both his legs or knees, or whatever it's called. And so he was in crutches for a while. I remember we all had to go over to his house and say we're sorry. And moving on. I never wanted to wear shorts as a kid. Today, I still don't own any shorts. I know. But around that same time, I was wearing shorts. And I was getting eaten alive by these mayflies. I think that's what they're called, mayflies. They're huge and the bites are painful. Maybe like horseflies, but I think where we lived, we called them mayflies. I don't know. But after a while, it was too much. So I went home and then it started. My legs had swollen and I couldn't feel them or walk. My parents ended up taking me to the hospital and I was given drugs and they took some blood. And of course, I started to feel better. But as a reward, we all went to get pizza after. So, you know, the episode, what is good, what is bad, it's really showing itself again. And of course, with woods, real woods, comes all the things that woods have in them. I'm talking about ticks here. Many times as a kid, I remember standing on the toilet, on top of the toilet with the lid down, buck naked with my mom with a lighter, tweezers, and nail polish remover, getting all the ticks off me. I think the record was 5 or 6 at one time. I'm not real sure. All I remember is being yelled at for being in the woods. And of course, chicken pox. Now they have a vaccine for this, I think. But once again, I remember my mother on the phone with her sister, my aunt, that my cousin had it. And then, like there was a fire in the house, my mother took me and my sister immediately out of the house and we went over to play with my cousin. Play with my cousin. Again, all I remember of that time was the three of us naked, standing on the living room table with my mom and aunt covering us in that calamine lotion. You know that pink stuff? Okay, fun fact. It's the iron oxide that gives it that pink color. Okay. Lunchtime. This was just like in some movies. Again, you'd hear your mother yelling out your name from the front door of the house. Just think about this as a kid. Once you left your house and rounded the corner or took the trails in the woods on your bike, nobody knew where you were. And you didn't know what time it was. There was no way to contact anyone or know anyone's whereabouts. But wherever you were, without fail, you would hear your mother call your name. And you had to go. Then everyone would go to their homes. It was the rules. And of course, there was neighborhood competition. Not with the kids, really, but with the parents. But in this case, the kids benefited greatly. Here's what happened. I got one of those original G.I. Joes. You know, the big ones with the fuzzy hair about the size of a Barbie. Well, it was fun to play with them with the girls and their Barbies, and we'd make fun of the draft-dodging Ken doll and beat them up. But then I got a few more G.I. Joe toys, like a Jeep or some winter camo gear. But when I got the eagle-eyed G.I. Joe for Christmas, with the lever in the back of its head to move his eyes back and forth, that was the final straw. My friend must have said something to his parents, because one day later, his dad drives up to his house, which was next to ours, and opens up the trunk. Keep in mind, he drove up next to our house, not actually in his own driveway. So he opens the trunk and it's filled with G.I. Joes and G.I. Joe stuff. I'm pretty sure both my parents and his had words, but stuff like this continued. I'd like something and finally get it, and then my friend's parents would try to top it. Yeah, but anyway, it worked out for us kids. All right, two more stories. My bike got stolen. I looked everywhere, and I remember we drove around looking for it. We had no idea where it was. I was crushed because no bike looked like mine. I changed and upgraded everything on it. Everyone knew what my bike looked like. So days went by until finally a kid came up to our door and said he knew who had my bike and he even knew where it was. So immediately we drove out to these apartments and sure enough, it was right there. My mom knocked on the door and then the father came out wondering what was going on. After explaining, the father called the kid and asked him, whose bike was that? Is this yours? Did you steal it? Well, he put his head down and said yes. And before the S sound of yes, his father beat him like a rug right in front of us. And not only did he have to apologize, he made him ride my bike, all the way back to my house and then walk home. Wow. I wonder if parents are still like this today. And I also wonder if kids are truly sorry for their actions, like they seemed to be back then. As for me, I'm still raising myself, so I'll never know. All right, one last thing. Fast forward to the late 80s. This is from the last episode, and I forgot to mention it. I tried to rebel before my senior year and didn't want to go to that military high school. Even though I was promoted to a major and technically would be 7th in command of the whole school, you know, it's kind of a cool thing. But to me, just knowing that was enough of an accomplishment. My father threatened to take my car away if I kept up with this behavior, and I was furious. So I did what any young INTJ would do and called his bluff. I went to my room teary-eyed, got my keys and threw them towards him and said, if you want to take the car, then take it. He didn't take the car away, but I still went there my senior year. But I was already changed. I didn't like that feeling of not having control, and I swore I'd do anything to be my own person, to make my own choices in life. And now here we are. Thanks for listening to the Injustice Radar podcast. Follow on Instagram and Twitter @InjusticeRadar. And like always, stay safe.